Okay. So, welcome to Notcast, episode 158. Maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Hi, everybody. Guess who's back?
Oh, yeah, hi.
So, who are you again?
I'm Fuzzwolf.
I'm Shiva.
Yay! I'm Saverin. And we're Notcast. Woo!
Woo!
Woo! Back together again.
Woo! Woo. I'm so tired.
We just had dinner at the original Pancake House in Addison, and it was super good. And now it's like, carb coma.
I had coffee. I'm okay.
I won't
be sleeping tonight because I had three cups.
Plus, I've been out in Fort Worth all day helping my family out, so I'm just like super tired.
And I'm on a new kind of medication for my back, which has... I'm on two, and drowsiness is a side effect for both of them.
Nice.
And, you know, my sister gave me some Xanax because we were both, like, freaking out about stuff, you know, around the memorial and the ashes scattering and all that. So I took one of those tonight because I was feeling a bit nervy for some reason. So now I'm, like, just really fucking feeling like I'm three sheets to the wind. Just, I could go to sleep right now. I may actually fall asleep in the break.
Should I nudge you if I hear you snoring while we're recording?
Yeah, that's probably not my CPAP machine. I will snore. So if you suddenly hear, what's that rumbling noise?
Nudge.
Oh, it's just Fuzz.
It's just Fuzz being a zombie.
Yes.
Well, it has been a few weeks.
Yeah, so by the time I go back to work on Wednesday, it'll have been about 2 months exactly since I was last in the office.
That's going to be kind of freaky, you know.
Because they're currently upgrading all of our machines to Windows 7. Mm-hmm. So my computer will be completely different when I go back.
Well, 7's pretty good.
I'll have probably over 100 emails to go through. And there will be various updates and everything to the system and the
legalities. Like, oh yeah, all the work that you were supposed to do, we just held it to, you know, while you were gone.
Nah, it doesn't work like that, but yeah, I'm pretty sure that first day back, I'm not going to get anything done in relation to an actual, like, work order. because I'm going to need, like a day or two to actually just catch back up and everything. It'd be kind of crazy.
Yep.
But I'd set my voicemail. My work voicemail was like, you've reached my desk. I am going to be out of the office for an undetermined period of time due to a family emergency. And then I gave my boss's phone number if they needed something. So if somebody called and it's like, because you can't put a date on it. You know, when it's a medical thing, you don't know when the fuck you're going to get back. So it's going to be kind of crazy. But
you're back now.
Yeah. It'll be a while before I'm, I think, fully normal again.
Well, after you go through
natural.
That, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Just let it come as it will. Don't worry about it too much.
So I guess, you know, people probably know this already, but I should go ahead and say, for those that don't, I went out of town to take care of my mom, who was sick with cancer, and she passed away on the 4th of October. And then in the 29th, we had a memorial service, and then we scattered her ashes in the sea. So I can unequivocally say that 2011 has been the worst year of my life.
Yeah.
So I'm only 35, and my mom was only 57, so we were not expecting this early. You know, I thought I would have been her age by the time we had to have this conversation. So my advice to our listeners is that on your end, if you have any unresolved issues or any questions you want to ask or anything you want to talk to your parents or other loved ones about, it's never too early to handle that shit, you know, to have that conversation. I was really lucky and really fortunate that my mom and I had always had a very close, very open relationship. I've been out to her since shortly after I discovered myself. She knew about Tyrion. She was very supportive of our relationship. We didn't have a lot of outstanding issues like that. But, you know, if you do, you know, you want to try and resolve that because you never know when you might just run out of time. and on your parents' end, or for those of you, I know we have some listeners who are a little older and some that have children. My mom did everything right in preparing for this. She had a will. She also had a living will, which says whether you want artificial respiration and a feeding tube and all that stuff. And she signed a DNR. So basically she had made all the decisions for us in advance, all the hard decisions basically about how to deal with someone's medical treatment when they're not able to communicate anymore, how to, you know, handle their remains after death. If you really want to give your children or your family or anybody close to you that will be handling your affairs after you're gone a gift, then prepare all that stuff in advance. And, you know, it's never too late to, like, put your wishes in writing. You know, I knew for the longest time that she wanted cremated and where she wanted her ashes scattered. So that's, I'm going to try, part of me was like, I'm not going to talk about this kind of thing at all. And the other part of me was like,
I've learned some stuff.
I've learned some stuff about death and dying in the grieving process. And I'm still learning and will be grieving for about a year. Statistically, when a parent dies, it takes about a year. And I've decided that it would be more useful if I shared some of my thoughts on this with our listeners, because, you know, we're trying to help, and, you know, if
this maybe happens to anybody,
yeah,
everybody eventually.
And what's been really good and bad, it's good in that I've had a lot of people that can kind of say, hey man, I know what you're going through, I've been through this, and they've you know, offered advice or offered to be a shoulder. But it's also really sad to realize how many people I know have lost a parent or a very close loved one at, you know, at my age or younger, you know, and a lot of them to cancer. So it's kind of surprising,
really. Yeah, it's just like cancer just seems to be popping up everywhere these days.
So
yeah.
So that's, I guess I probably should have let y'all know that I was going to say something, but it just kind of popped out there. But I wanted to kind of acknowledge.
I kind of expected you to. I mean,
yeah,
it's an important subject.
But yeah, obviously my life has been greatly impacted lately, and now I've had some closure, you know, my sister and I, my family have put everything to rest. I could not have done this without Tieran. He has been so supportive of me and has really been there the whole time to help me through all this. And now I'm like, we're trying to basically get our lives back on track, you know, so I'm back here at home. I've been living away from home for nearly the entire last 2 months. Tieran's been flying out. Like, he flew out to see me like 3 times. So, you know, we've had a lot of, he's used up a lot of time doing that and everything. But now we're going to try to get our lives back on track. And that's part of that is, you know, being able to come back to the show and, you know,
back to normal,
which, hopefully. Which I actually did listen to the show when I was out there, because it kind of felt a little bit of a connection to home, you know, just, you know, hearing friends just talking and bullshitting about stuff. It was actually, so, you know, even if those episodes didn't help anybody else at all, they certainly helped me. Just for being able to kind of...
At least get, one person.
Yeah, we know. At least one person was helped, but just having that connection to home. So that's what's been going on in my life, I guess, lately. Wow, we haven't caught up in ages. I've barely seen you guys. I mean, we did OklaCon. I got back, did OklaCon, then went back and dealt with the memorial.
Yeah.
But other than OklaCon, I haven't really seen you guys at all since I've been back.
Yeah, because, I mean, after OklaCon, the last couple Tuesdays, I've had stuff I had to do. And my parents are... God, my, you know, you've had some shit going on. But then, like,
mm-hmm.
And then my sister, her shit has finally ended.
Mm-hmm.
Thank fuck. That's my good. Sister is now officially divorced.
Yay!
And things worked out better than expected.
Good, good.
And she got herself a job. I mean, it's not a lot, but it's something.
Mm-hmm. After and kind of the
she got to keep the car. So
after what the 8 months of shit that she's had to deal with, and yeah, things are and finally being unemployed
and all sort of stuff. But that finally ended. Like Tuesday.
Yeah. She's got a job. She's got her car. She has his testicles hanging from the rearview mirror. So it's all good.
Thankfully, you know, at this point, it was just a matter of, look, I don't fucking want to be married to you. Let's just call this quits. She's like, I want the fucking car. He was like, fine, but if you miss a fucking payment, it's mine. And she's like, fine, fuck you. He's like, no, fuck you. Divorce paper signed. Fuck you, fuck you. They leave. Yeah.
I'm imagining that's actually what it says on the paperwork.
Well, no, because they're, you know, going to each other. It's like, fuck you, no, fuck you.
Are they actually literally flipping each other off?
No. I don't know.
I could see your sister doing this.
We don't know how gangsta they are.
Yeah. They might be pretty they might be pretty damn street, and I just don't know it.
You know, they could be like the Cuban dude and half baked. You know, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool. Fuck you. I'm out of here.
No. That's I mean, that was my thing that's been sort of haunting the periphery of my life for a while, cuz I mean, it's like all this crazy shit going on, and then
it's over. Yay.
Yay.
Yeah. This has been a fuck of a year for a lot of people.
It's like,
I said somebody today, I don't care if the world does end in 2012, I'll be glad to see the back of 2011, you know? The world could blow up January 1st and 2012 would still be a better year than 2011.
Well, damn. I mean, it's like, right now, I have both my one grandfather that lives here is going through chemo.
Ugh.
And he's like 80.
Ugh.
And then my step grandmother, my other living grandfather, who's up in like St. Louis. She's been in, you know, like having some sort of crazy medical thing. So it's like everybody's falling apart. Oh, my God.
It's just been a really bad year.
Fuck cancer, man.
Yeah, that's got to be my new motto. I'm going to be trying to scrounge up some money to make a donation to the hospice that took care of my mom. Because, yeah, I don't know, for those of you that I knew fuck all about hospice before this situation. I just knew that, you know, that's where people go to die, basically. But what it is, at least the one in Jacksonville that we used, was they're a not-for-profit organization. They take anybody. They take you whether you have insurance or not, whether you can pay them or not. And it's a very nice room. Family are allowed to visit anytime. You just sign in. And, you know, cable TV if you want that. Every room has a CD player if you want to just have like soothing music or the patient's favorite music on. And they basically keep you comfortable. It's a lot of it is about pain management and just, you know, making sure that the, you know, it sucks to die, but they make it as easy as possible. It's a very hard thing.
Yeah. They minimize the sucking.
Yeah, basically.
As best they can.
And they do it as much for the family as they do it for the patient. You know, whenever we had a question or we started freaking out about something, they had a brochure or they had a nurse come in and explain what was going on. And, you know, they do grief counseling and all that stuff. But, you know, like I said, it's a not-for-profit agency. And they have all these little benches and memorial stones and stuff like that. So if families can donate, like, a certain amount of money, you know. So,
like a binge, like in memory of.
Yeah, basically, you know,
cool.
From the family of so and so and the dates and everything. You know, what you can say whatever you want. So, I mean, we want to try to do something like that, you know, because, you know, they did so much for her, basically. And while cancer itself is a very, and cancer and chemo are very painful to go through, at the point that she had decided no more treatment, and was just in hospice care to kind of help her along the way. She was really at peace towards the end. She kind of wasn't conscious like the last 2 days, and then we were all with her, me, her sister, my sister, were all holding her hands, and it's really painful to be there as, you know, during those last moments. You know, I was actually there watching her as she took her last breath. But at the same time, I'm like, this was really painful, but...
You wouldn't have missed it?
I feel more at ease about this than if I had been 1,000 miles away and I just got the phone call that said, your mom's dead, you need to fly home for the funeral.
Yeah. So, plus, I mean, then you'd be kicking yourself for not being there, et cetera,
yeah,
et cetera.
Yeah. And it's really, the other thing that's nice about hospice is when a patient dies, it's not an emergency. Like if it happens at a hospital or something, they don't call 911, the police don't come in or anything like that.
It's expected.
It's expected. The nurse comes in. They confirm whether the person has passed away or not. And then we were surprised they didn't rush everybody out of the room so they could go do doctoring stuff and everything like that. They were just basically, you're fine, don't move, and you guys can stay here for as long as you want. And we stayed with her for nearly 3 hours, just crying and holding each other and remembering. But... So that's part of what was really good about hospice is they really take care of the family members as much as the patient.
I was gonna say, it sounds like as much they're there for the living as much as for the ones that are passing.
Basically, yeah. So that's definitely, you know, it was a beautiful facility too, you know. So they went all out. So that's something I would definitely consider. You know, when the time
are
comes.
You getting
yeah, you got both of us all kind of teary-eyed and sad over here. I mean, you're going to make somebody driving their car.
I'm sorry. Oh, okay, well...
Well, no, it's
sorry.
I mean, you're our good friend. We're very sorry for your loss, but we're both kind of tearing up like, that's so fucking sad.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm like, and I'm...
Okay, I'm feeling a little... silly, and then okay. I see you, and then I see Sabra wiping his eyes. Okay, as long as I'm not the only one being,
bad that I'm not crying right now. But trust me,
you've
been crying
your
a
share.
Lot.
You've done your share, and let your friends have a little.
But every 3 or 4 days, I break down in tears, and Taryn holds me, and you know, and I'm not going to start thinking about the things that upset me right now because then I
because well, you got us taking care
right,
of the
yeah,
sniffly part,
but,
so.
But, you know, I will try to end this on a positive note. And this is, I guess, a very personal thought that I'm going to share. But that I am not the most healthy person in the world. And I greatly resemble a great uncle who had a heart attack and died at the age of 42. And I've seen this guy's picture. And this is like 2 generations back. And I do look a lot like him. And it turned out that my mom had said to other relatives, although she would never say it to me, because she'd never want to upset me, that she was concerned about my health and she was concerned about my heart. So while my whole life I'd sort of been like, I'm not going to have a long life, you know, I'm going to drop dead at 40 of a heart attack. Now I'm 35. I've kind of upped the average a little bit and been like, well, okay, well, maybe I'll make 40, but I'll probably be dead by 50. And now I'm... You know, knowing that my mom was concerned about me and knowing that she made everything about her kids, you know, that she only wanted to live longer, to spend more time with us. She said she wasn't scared of dying. She just was upset because she wouldn't have more time with my sister and I. And now she, knowing that is sort of, she's given me like a new...
Drive,
new perspective. A new drive, a new perspective, a new motivation in life to really live well, you know, to live longer, to get healthier, to live the best damn life I can, because I know that she would want that for me. And I think that's something positive to take from this, is mm-hmm. that when I do things now, I'm going to be like, I'm going to do this because my mom would want me to do this and she'd want me to be happy. So I want to start watching what I eat. I want to try to get my ass to the gym again, shit like that. And I'm kind of determined that I kind of everything in my life, apart from this year, of course, my mom passing away is a huge negative mark on my year. But everything in my life is great. You know, I have a good job for Planet's doing well. I have a wonderful partner in life. I have good friends. I'm very close to my family. The only thing I would change in my life is my health. And now that is something that I'm determined to do something about.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to take something positive from this experience.
Yep. Getting your acting gear, that's definitely a good motivating factor.
Yeah.
It's like, huh, I should, you know, maybe not eat that quadruple bypass burger from...
I've never gone there, and I don't think I ever... I mean, who eats at a place called the Heart Attack Grill? Holy shit.
Dudes that are like, dude, let's go to a place called the Heart Attack Grill.
There was something... I was looking at their menu one day on my phone or my iPad. We were talking about this... Or I was talking about this with other friends. I don't remember. But it said on there something like, if you're over so many pounds, you eat free. And it was like 350 or 400 pounds, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, if you're over 400 pounds, your food is free. And they're like, because we know you want to aim for that weight goal. And it's like, just the reverse of everything you should be doing, basically.
Yeah. No, I don't even want to look there.
I looked at their menu. I was just like, oh my God, this is horrifying. I know that, you know, apart from the legality of my citizenship, I'm basically a fat American at this point. You know, I fit in very well into your culture. I'm infiltrated. You have
assimilated
very well. I've eaten myself into assimilation here. But even looking at that, I'm just like, my God, I can't do that to myself, you know? Just, holy shit, you think a Baconator or Wendy's is bad, then you look at that stuff, and it's like Epic Mealtime, you know?
Yeah.
This has 40,000 calories, eat it!
Next time, we eat a baby.
baby back ribs.
Fucking Epic Mealtime.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy shit.
Food
porn.
Yeah, it's food porn. It's just,
I don't know if I call that porn. It's more like, I don't know, watching, like, crash videos or something.
It's horrifying, but wreck. You can't look away.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, it's like, this house, this is a gingerbread house made of meat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Didn't they call it a slaughterhouse?
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah. Oh, God. Anyway, let's read an email.
We're going to read some emails.
Okay. Woo! Okay, I'm going to just...
Pick an email.
Unilaterally decide. I want to read a follow-up email here.
Are you reading the one I think you are?
I'm reading a girly follow-up.
Yeah, that's the one.
That was the one we had at OKCon.
Because this was one that we read at OKCon. It's only been a week or however long that was. A couple weeks, right.
And it's awesome.
And it's an awesome follow-up, and... Yeah, you know, given what we said in that episode, this is really great. So, dear Notcast, I just wanted to follow up on my last email. Yesterday, I got home to find a gift box from my mate on the bed with a card tucked under a big red bow. I read the card, and much to my surprise, it said he listens to Notcast too, and knew it was me before the name was even read, and that he didn't care what I looked like. He loved me for me. I opened a box and I started to tear up. He had gotten me a nice piece of lacy red silk lingerie, and just when I was going to start crying, he walked in with a rose in his hand. What happened next was the most wonderful night of my life, and he called in sick just to stay in bed and cuddle this morning. When we finally got out of bed, he got down on one knee and proposed. All I can say is thank you, Notcast. Just by being there, you saved my relationship. I owe you all a huge hug and a round of drinks next con we meet. With much love and thanks, your girly bunny boy listener, Rose Marlehaim.
That awesome. Is awesome. That was a listener that was trying to be more manly for his mate.
Yes.
And wasn't really feeling like it was them. And we recommended to basically come clean, and he didn't have to.
Yeah, so that worked out. Well, occasionally, you know, it's nice. You'll see these the just best possible way shit works out, you know?
That's an awesome resolution.
So, yeah, I was really happy to get that email. I thought it was cool. So, Shiva, you want to read the next email? We'll go cockwise, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's see. See if I refresh. I think I'll just start from the top.
Okay.
An unforeseen opportunity and a few questions. Hello, Notcasters. New fan here. Listened to a bunch of your episodes on iTunes and thought I'd finally pitch in something and become a fire of the... Fart.
I'm just... You picked this one and I'm looking at it. I'm like, it's huge.
I know. I know. And I'm like one sentence in and I still... Yeah, whatever. This is going to be... Anywho. Become a part of the first time writing in club with an interesting story that is unfolding for me right now and a question or two. Hopefully this will avoid the wall of text you guys speak of so much. We normally get a couple apologies, and it's not. There's like three paragraphs. It's not a wall of text. This one qualifies.
Mm.
So, all right. To start things off, I'm 18, male and gay, and I've known of furries for quite some time now. My story begins with me playing RuneScape with a few clanmates, otherwise known as Botscape. I know a few guys are WoW fans, so I hope Savern doesn't shun me so soon.
Okay.
Anyway, he's not paying attention. It's okay.
Anyway, about 6 months ago, I got a message from one of my clanmates, a good buddy of mine, but not one of those super best friend types at the time. He asked me in private message if I've ever heard of something called Fur Affinity. Sorry, is my display name on RuneScape is Knife Wolf. It's either one or I.
I think it's one.
Night Wolf one. And on occasion, I say minor things at clans, such as facepaw and other things of that nature for the giggles. I say, yes, we talk a little bit, both of us kind of shy and mainly being around the bush. He directs me to his gallery with some music he created, which is very good, I might add. We started talking a lot more, becoming good friends. Eventually, I do some snooping around on his profile, and I find that a friend he makes music with has about 50 pages of favorites, and they're mainly of an adult nature. Of course, I don't mind. I mean, who doesn't like the art of dog people fucking? But this inspires me to stop beating around the bush so much and ask him what he knows about furries and what his opinions of the adult aspects are. Turns out we find a lot of common ground, and quickly become best friends with the first furry I met on RuneScape. Down the line, we exchange cell numbers and Xbox gamer tags and finally get to know each other. Now, on to a more recent period. Me and my current boyfriend broke up a couple weeks ago. Him quickly becoming a real asshole, I become uncomfortable with my living situation, which is me living with him and his family, them basically adopting me after my own family had financial issues and them getting infected. I tell my friend that, and he offers to talk to his mother about having me move in with them. Even though I live in Illinois and him in Washington, me and his family get to talking, and I also learn that there's much more job opportunities where he lives. Long story short...
Too late.
Huh?
Go ahead. Nothing.
Okay. Long story short, his family gets to know me for a while, it sees my initiative to want to go back to college for a short time, and get a good paying job through programs they have at the local colleges. We make plans, and next thing I know, they buy me a plane ticket. I'm leaving on December 14th, approximately 6 weeks from now, and we'll have 2 weeks beforehand to really get to spend time with everyone here before I part for a new life. The family is level-headed, smart, and on the wealthier side of things. Not, oh my god, wealthy, but enough to spend a couple $100s in my new room they have set up for me on my surprise, not to worry about me paying them back for anything but the plane ticket and a reasonable monthly rent, which will also be no problem since I plan on setting up a job there before I leave and I'm saving money like crazy. We are all making smart plans, I believe, so I'm not running away on a whim. This opportunity could really make it so I don't have to work like a slave two minimum wage jobs just to make ends meet if I play my cards right. Now that I've gotten most of this out of the way, here's my questions that I have. Him becoming as close as he is and soon to be roommate, me and him have more than touched the subject of starting a relationship. I'm 18, he's 20, so no huge age differences. And we have many common interests and definitely someone I would consider. But 6 weeks ago, it seems that we can't really keep each other from becoming... Hold on. But with 6 weeks to go, It seems that we can't really keep each other from becoming closer and talking about it more. I want to wait to actually get into a relationship until we live actually are together in person. We can't seem to help each other, though. Flirting from time to time and discussing more in-depth things about relationships and things that we could do once I arrive. Mostly appropriate and hinting at possible sexual things much later down the road. Is this normal to keep myself from becoming closer? Or should I make a more adamant stance against the flirting and wait till I arrive before things get too attached to one another? His family knows he's gay, and me, and is cool about it, so it's not too big of a deal. I also don't want it to make seem like I'm running up there to be with a new boyfriend. They're definitely smart, too, and most likely know that there's a possibility of me getting together with him. So if we do, should I keep it under wraps until a bit later on? Also, any advice you could offer if you were in the scenario, and what would you do? Is there anything I should know about making this kind of move? Happy nodding. The Kahan Blade Master, Nightwolf.
Interesting email.
It could be a very good situation. It could pan out
bad. Really weird places.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to smoke my bubble pipe on this one.
Personally, I think it sounds really cool. I'm glad you're getting that opportunity. Do I think you should, like, jump, you know, right into a relationship? No. You talked online and maybe on the phone, and that's cool and all, but that doesn't replace real life interaction. You know, you're going to be living there for a while, and, you know, jumping straight into a relationship is probably not a good idea. You should get to know each other. I mean, and if you can be good friends, if it does become a relationship down the road, good. But you should probably get to know each other in person first before, going that route. That's just my two cents.
Yeah, I don't think that it's bad to flirt at this stage, though. I think that that's fine.
Oh, yeah. Flirting's great and fun, but not declaring, yeah. Oh, gee, we're mates.
Yeah.
You're also just getting out of a relationship, so I don't think jumping immediately back into another relationship is wise. Yeah, I'd play it safe. Although, I guess I'm confused about how his family is just... Oh yeah, totally. You know, I guess if they're getting some rent out of it, then maybe they need some, you know, financial assistance and to have a spare room. So what the hell, you know? Maybe they think you're just friends or something. Because if the family's really like doing you a huge favor, I don't know. It almost seems like I'm going to move my boyfriend in, you know, and the family's cool with it. It has a relationshipy kind of setup about it.
Did they ask you for any, you know, bone marrow typing? Did they check your blood against anyone else's? Did they make any comments about how delicious you looked?
And if so, then maybe you should be living here! But, yeah, I mean, I guess I would need more info on, like, what I guess the family is expecting. Are they thinking that you guys are dating or that, oh, this is just a friend that needs a room or whatever. But, yeah, like the other said, I wouldn't jump in from one relationship into another. Flirting's probably okay. Your two gay furries within 2 years of each other are going to be living together. Yeah, you're probably going to end up screwing. But, you know, let's just be realistic here. It's going to happen.
At some point, one of you is going to trip and fall over the couch, and then the other one's...
He tripped and fell on my dick. But,
magnetism.
You know, even then, just kind of take it slow about whether you go into a relationship or not. You know, you could be friends with benefits for a while. You could get into a relationship, but... if you need some time to get over your prior relationship, you should probably kind of take it slow, at least initially.
Yeah, and also be careful. His parents might have house rules on what is and is not acceptable.
Yeah. So, no fucking under our roof.
You know.
Can we fuck on the roof?
No, you must go into the backyard.
Oh, okay.
Do it like a dog.
So just be aware that you might not necessarily have your own ground rules to set. They might have some say in what y'all are going to be doing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Who's putting whose penis in who?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, young man, but my son's the only one allowed to top in this family.
No, obviously,
Dad. dad.
His dad might be, if anyone's going to fuck the lodger, it's going to be me.
Oh.
But that ass is mine. No. Hopefully it won't go completely creepy like that. So, Saverin, you want to read the next email?
Let's pick an email. I'll just go from the second one from the top.
Okay.
Called Mateship Rituals. Hello, Knotcast crew. It's me again, your listener from Southeast Asia. I sent in an email last week, and I'm pretty sure I forgot to introduce myself. Well, I don't really have a specific persona name, but I like to think of myself as a tiger, so you may call me T. I'm sorry if I leave things out or phrase things wrong sometimes, because English is my second language. As you may remember, I'm Chinese, gay, and I'm also a Buddhist. Yes, I do have internet access, and no, I do not live in a mountain somewhere. And yes, I do eat meat. Why? Because science said I should, so our Pope equivalent, not sure what he's called in English, says only monks have to be vegetarian. Basically, our text just boiled down to you guys' philosophy. Don't be a dick. Also, don't kill anything. Pretty simple. On to the point of my email. I was wondering if about furries, mateship. What does mateship mean? Does it signify marriage and can carry the same weight as it in the furry community? Or is it just something furries do? I would also like to know when you decide to become mates. Thank you for any feedback you might give me. I understand you guys are famous now and probably have a lot more emails than you can handle. And sorry about accidentally splitting this into two emails. Butterfingers. Also, I'm not sure if you got my email from last week. My computer is being a shithead. With love, the tiger from the SCA.
I think you mean C.
No, SCA, Southeast Asia.
Southeast Asia. P.S. Since the email last week, some parts were fucked up because of internet failure on my part. Da-da-da. There you go. So.
Mateship.
The word mate is funny.
It seems to vary depending on the person that's saying it.
And they're given maturity. Yeah. I mean, some people like my boyfriend. He's my mate.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are like, I've been with this person for, you know, X number of years. If anything, it's they would be my mate. It doesn't actually really, there's no agreed upon.
Yeah. Some people think of it as something you automatically apply to just whoever you're dating. And other people, it's more of a long-term commitment kind of thing. And a lot of people make that commitment a little too soon. Also, as, you know, well, he said he's a gay furry. As gay furries, our availability for certain relationship statuses is a little more limited than for straight people, because we can't get married, quote unquote, in real life. I mean, like, we'll take Tyrion and I. It's been 10 years. Boyfriend doesn't really cut it anymore.
Yeah,
you know, we're not 16 and going to the prom. You know, so when I say in non-furry circles, he's usually introduced as my partner because we're not legally married, but we're clearly more than boyfriends or roommates or anything like that. In furry circles, I call him my mate, but I've referred to him as my mate rather than a boyfriend for pretty much our whole relationship. So part of me is like, yeah, we have the long term, you know, gravitas behind it now to claim that. But at the same time, 10 years ago, it was sort of like, will you be my mate? You know, imagine little dumb 10 years or so ago me. You know?
Well, I mean,
so, and my attitude about it has maybe changed over the course of time. It
probably has a lot to do with the general maturity as well.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you want to have that word that's your word and that's your fandom word that you can apply to your relationship. No, he's not my friend. He's my mate. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes sense. It's
also not specifically only a furry term. It's what's interesting, because if you read mainstream articles about psychology and sexuality, you know, in order to, I guess, avoid having to beat around the bush about whether it's a boyfriend, a significant other, a husband, a wife, etc., you'll see a lot of articles talking about humans finding a mate, their partner, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so I have seen it used, and not in the g'day mate kind of friendly thing that Australians and Brits will use, mm-hmm. but actually used in the term of a romantic relationship.
Well, plus it's also delightfully gender neutral.
Very, yeah. Very true.
You know, it's not so. It's a little bit, it's not spouse. It's not boyfriend or girlfriend. It just means significant other.
Yeah. I mean, if I refer to Panther, he's my partner, so.
Mm-hmm. I would say mate of it, whatever you wish.
Yeah. As for it having, like, marriage, I mean, there's some people that do pop. Okay, so there's the idea of hand fastings, which is like a one-year trial relationship that's...
Really? I just thought it was a Wiccan marriage.
It's one of those things that has a lot, that has multiple meanings. Like, some people are like, it's, it is in Wicca, that is, like, their thing. It's an agreed-upon relationship for a set period of time, generally a year.
Uh-huh.
Before the, basically it's a trial marriage in a way.
Right.
It's like, we're married for a year. If it doesn't work out, no harm, no foul. We'll go our separate ways.
But if their Nielsen reviews are high enough, they might get renewed for another year.
Yeah, exactly. But, and, you know, there's a free version, the paw fasting.
Yeah, when I first heard that, I face-pawed. Yeah. So I was just like, really?
Really?
That's taking it a little too lifestyler for me. We're going to have a paw fasting in our mer suits at a convention.
Then again, if you look at the icon that we have, it is a hand fasting image.
Yeah, I know. But the art's good, so whatever.
Art is good. Like that our image is, they have tied the knot and not in the, you know, cock and ass sort of way.
You know, if we have to use a Shinigami girl picture as our icon, well, my first choice would be that great pegging picture she drew me, but if we need something more PG, then yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, I'm just going to say it's one of those open to interpretation things, so whatever you want to make out of it. Do we want to go on to our next one, or is it...
We should probably take a break. We're 45 minutes. I only have, they have six more emails.
Okay.
So we're going to pause right here, play a song, talk about a dong, and be back.
Woo!
And we're back.
Okay. This week's selection from our sponsor, AdamandEve.com, is the Macho Stallion Erection Keeper. Basically, this is a cock ring that, while it looks metal, it frankly looks like something out of Hellraiser.
It looks like a piece of something you find in like a plumbing kit or part of an engine.
You know, I think this was like in the background in those scenes in Event Horizon when it was showing the ship going into hell. But it's actually made out of jelly. It just looks dangerous. Stay macho hard and deliver seven thrills to her clit. Notice the large vibe on top of this waterproof cock ring. With just one touch, you'll deliver seven functions of pleasure to her clit. Just press the on button and you'll both feel your macho stallion's pulsating erection keeper cycle through all seven functions. Meanwhile, your cock stays hard until you're done. Free batteries included for your cock. And an enhanced erection is its own reward. I wanted to at least read down to that sentence because that amuses me. Not only does your stiffy stay harder longer, but every thrust delivers bullet vibrator thrills to her clit. So I'm assuming that you could still do someone in the butt with this bzzed on their taint or something like that. Missionary style, you're doing it. The top bottom of their balls is getting a little stimulation. That could be fun. But anyway, it's a very impressive black jelly
scary-looking cock ring.
That looks dangerous. Yeah, this is like the cock ring that Pinhead wears right before he fucks you. But it's only $16.95, but if you use our coupon code KNOT, KNOT, you'll get 50% off, three free fuck tapes, unless you're in one of those weird states, and a free gift, which we have... no idea what it is, because it's ethereal and doesn't exist in this space and time. Plus until shipping. The package arrives at your door.
It is a quantum dildo.
Plus free shipping. Yes, yes. It's like Schrodinger's dildo. You know, you're either fucked or unfucked until you open your package from AdamandEve.com.
Yep.
I don't know if that made any sense, but there we go.
Keep using that coupon code. We sure like it when you do.
It helps out. And
it does.
Especially since we may need some XLR cables.
Yeah, we're going to need some XLR cables soon. That's probably going to be what we use a good chunk.
They don't last forever, and we set them up and break them down and drag them to conventions all the time. Well,
consider that Panther crafted these when we first got... No, we've probably had these cables.
He sewed these out of his own hair.
Well, no, he literally did craft these cables. He got the heads and the cables and did the voodoo to make them work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've functioned for 3-4 years. Well, 3 years at least.
Yeah, they done all right.
Yep. All right, so we're going to get back to it.
Who read the last one?
I read the last email, so
it's my turn this time. Okay, this is going to be an anonymous email. Commission troubles. Dear Notcast, for my birthday last year, my boyfriend got me a commission from one of my favorite artists. I was very much looking forward to seeing the finished result, but there was a problem. 14 months later, and the commission is still not finished, despite both of us being in constant contact with the artist. The artist in question has repeatedly said that he'll, quote, be able to work on it soon, and he even got a sketch to us after a few months. After getting the sketch, though, it's been month after month of empty promises from him. This past week, my boyfriend and I decided that enough was enough and asked for a partial refund if progress was not made by the end of the week. Though the artist said he would have it done by then, he failed to do so, and thus has agreed to give us a refund. Am I in the right for requesting a refund after this? It's been over a year since the original commission date, and it was not an inexpensive piece either. I sort of feel bad about requesting a refund, and I am still regretful that the commission won't ever be finished unless some sort of miracle happens. Yet, at the same time, I feel cheated that the artist in question was attending multiple conventions over the year and doing more commissions at said cons. I've seen a few that have been done since we commissioned him. So I ask all of you, what is your opinion on the situation? Is this sort of thing common? I've gotten several commissions before, and none have spiraled into disaster like this one has. I would still like to get the commission finished, but I'm afraid at this point it never will be. In short, what should I do next? Sincerely, Anonymous. P.S. Please give Fuzz my condolences about his mother. I hope he makes it through okay. Well, thank you.
I think 14 months is really reasonable to ask for a refund. I've been an artist where I've been given a subject, and I just couldn't work up the enthusiasm or couldn't get inspired and get something I would be happy turning over to somebody saying, here, have this, and ended up giving a refund just because I tried, nothing was clicking, I couldn't do it, and, you know, I gave it back. As an artist, I feel 14 months is very generous, especially if there's been no progress made, no nothing. It's, you're perfectly fine. It's... You basically made a contract. You paid for something. Getting for it in a timely fashion is very, very reasonable. Now, if it was like a month later and you were writing this letter, I would be, dude, you got to be more patient. Sometimes the mojo just doesn't come.
Sometimes shit happens.
Yeah. But no, you're fine. Now, if he doesn't actually refund you, there's steps you can take. There's artist beware. Don't use it. Don't go screaming and complaining about this unless it takes an extended period of time to get your refund. But again, if you make a solid complaint, don't get too inflammatory. Just state facts. I ordered it this time. And this date, I made contact, got promises, nothing, asked for a refund on this date. He said, yes, on this date, it's now.
X date later.
Yeah. Don't get inflammatory, just state times.
Yeah. Let the other people chew their ears off.
Yeah.
Try to have also screen caps of things like notes or emails or payment receipts on PayPal or whatever like that. Post up what sketches or information that you do have along with the dates. Put all that behind a cut. But any real documentation or information that you have to support your case, you should definitely include that in your initial post. You know, shit happens to everybody. There are a lot of artists that treat it like a business, and they're on top of it, and they're very professional, and they do it. Then there's others that treat it like a hobby, and they don't really have that kind of customer service touch that they should really have when dealing with commissioners. And of course, sometimes shit just happens, even to the professionals. You know, and they may not have, if they don't have a support, like, you know, shit just happened to me in my life. Luckily, I had the support structure of Tieran, who took care of her planet for the last 2 months and still got our orders out and stuff like that. But, you know, some people may not be that fortunate. But, you know, 14 months is, you know, and that's, I can use that justification for maybe anything under 6 months. But 14 months is a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah, then, especially when, as you said, it was not a cheap commission.
Yeah, or not a comp. I think they said it was a cheap commission, and it wasn't complicated.
He said it wasn't cheap.
It was not an inexpensive piece either.
Oh,
so, I mean,
my mistake.
Yeah, I mean, if I've had a really bad streak of luck when it comes to commissions. I've had several ones take over a year to reach fruition, if at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really kept me from spending my dosh within the furry fandom.
Mm-hmm.
I buy books from Fur Planet. You should too.
ding! The more you know.
So I mean, it's perfectly reasonable to be like, just give me money back. I'm done with you. As for you want the piece to be done, get it done by somebody else. Obviously, this person has shown that they.
Whatever reason.
Don't have their shit together for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And you should shop the idea to somebody else who will deliver.
Yeah. And, you know, I have to say, in the over 10 years I've been in the fandom, it's probably like 13 years now, I think, I've had a really good run of luck as far as getting commissions, sketches, badges, all that stuff. I've only really felt like I've been fucked over maybe once, maybe twice in all that time. And I've had a couple of commissions take a long time. Like, I had one that took a year, but it was a really incredible piece of work. And, you know, every few months when I would check in, you know, the artist would give me an update. So definitely, like,
yeah,
communication is key. It's the people that take your money and they don't communicate and they don't email back. And they don't show any progress, and time just drags on and on and on. Those are the ones that you've got to be careful of. But now I don't know why you've had a bad run of luck, Saverin.
I don't know. I've had some where it's like, you know, I'd like this drawn, and it gets like that. Uh-huh. And then it, you know, I get these two extremes. It's done like that, or they have my sketchbook all weekend and I get it back at, you know, 8 p.m. on Sunday.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I ordered this and it doesn't show up online. And I have a situation like this guy where I see them doing art and art and art and inks and colorizations and all this stuff. But my supposed to be inked picture shows up well over a year later and it's just a sketch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it wasn't even sent to me. I saw it on their gallery. Was like, I'm not doing business with you ever again.
Yeah.
I sent them a very unhappy note.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, at that point, they had my money, so what the fuck did they care?
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's part of the reason for sites like Artist Beware. It's like, yeah, it is a drama pit in some cases, and I think that they take some shit way too fucking seriously. But at the same time, when an artist has your money like that, in your case, where they obviously don't feel any pressure to give it back to you or give you your work in a reasonable amount of time, then it's sad that it comes down to it. But frankly, the public shaming of a site like Artist Beware, I've seen more than one artist that lights the fire under their ass that they need to fucking go ahead and do the work.
Yeah.
And some of these people are really fast, you know, and it's, you know, it's not a major thing to just do it and be done with it. And I personally rather just do it and be done with it and get an unhappy commissioner out of my hair than to keep dragging it on, you know?
I mean, reputation is a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially in a very online savvy group like our community,
you
know, generally
you end up with a bad reputation that you can't get your shit done, and you know you overcharge and you're sloppy or whatever. You're not going to be getting a lot of commissions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if you change your name and your whatever furry species, people find that out.
Yeah, it's funny seeing those bewares where they're like, so and so. Also known as this and this. And there's like six different FA usernames.
Yeah.
And you know, they're changing and they're dodging and they're moving on. And, you know, and sadly, there's a lot of new folks coming to the community or even, you know, I don't keep up with everybody, you know. There's thousands of people.
I say, hey, that looks okay. Yeah, I'll commission them.
And then they find out, oh, shit, I've been duped by this person that's been sucking money out of the community for years and years. It's sad. But it's important to watch those sites. But it's important to watch those sites with kind... With a skeptical eye. With a grain of salt. I was trying to think of an analogy there to say. But, you know, kind of consider what you're seeing. You know, it's definitely not 100% damning in one way. Because everybody has an unfortunate situation or a bad experience. Or just one commission just goes awry for whatever reason. So you shouldn't let that taint someone forever, but it's a decent guide pole, I guess, for how people are, and whether it gets resolved or not says a lot about the people in the situation. So yeah, I think you're totally in your right to ask for a refund 14 months later with nothing to show for it. And you know, and if they give you any flack, they give you a bunch of excuses about getting the money to you or anything, go to Artist Beware and post about it.
Try to not be insulting, you know, just be factual. You'll come out of that looking better than if you just attack. So, next one. How to handle a homophobe.
With a knife.
I have an off-topic question for you this week. If this has been answered already, please ignore this email. I'm still listening through all old episodes. Last week, me and my newly found mate went to a Halloween party. Overall, it was a pretty good experience. However, there was one person there who really ruined the whole experience, not just for me, but presumably also my mate and a few others. Me and my mate sat outside having a casual chat when this absolute asshat came over and started making very hurtful, homophobic comments to both me and my mate. He proceeded to do this several times throughout the night, even after requests from other partygoers to stop. Even his forced apology was loaded with homophobic insults. Every single time he opened his mouth, he's either insulting us for being gay or being a furry. And by the end of the evening, I was ready to attempt to beat the shit out of him with an empty cider bottle for being so rude, regardless of being told that he was a heavyweight boxer by two others at the party. To make matters worse, my mate later told me that this person was a close friend of his, which seems to complicate things somewhat, since I didn't want to risk causing him upset. So my question is this. How would I go about dealing with someone who is too rude for me to even remotely friendly with, too stupid and arrogant to listen to reason or to stop, too tough to beat sense into, and who actively seeks me and my mate out to fire homophobic abuse at? Given that he and my mate are friends, I'm expecting I'll encounter him again, and I'd really like some guidance about how to go about dealing with him and his rudeness the next time me and him meet. A concerned dragon, Filch Dragon.
We've had something similar to this before.
Not quite this aggressive, though.
Well, we had one that I'm thinking of where the guy's mate was a friend of this person who's being a complete asshat. And it's like, I think the onus in this case is definitely on the writer's mate. You know, you need to talk to your mate and be like, look, this guy's a fucking asshole. You need to do something about this. This is a problem, you know, and I wouldn't let your mate just blow it off as not being a problem. Because, I mean, I personally, I don't understand how you could be friends with somebody like that, mm-hmm. you know, because a lot of people will do that thing where they have one friend that's like loaded with drama or occasionally acts like an asshole or just goes off on people randomly once a year. And people just blow it off of, oh, that's just Joe. He just does that. You know, it's okay. Well, for me, it's not okay. You know, I don't want somebody like that in my life. So I would definitely talk to your baby, like, either cool this guy off or, you know, get him out of our lives.
At least take a temperature with your mate to see how he's feeling about this. I mean, is he just going to pretty much try to keep smoothing this over? Is he willing to take a more active stand? But pretty much whatever happens, you're going to have to kind of keep turning the other cheek. You get an altercation with him, and you take the first swing, you're going to be charged with assault.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to be really careful. If he starts becoming abusive and starts being a risk to you, that's when you actually have to go to the police. At this point, you're going to have to try to avoid when you can't endure, and definitely don't take a swing, because it sounds like he'd just be waiting to either answer or to get you in trouble in doing so.
Yeah. I think your mate needs to tell his so-called close friend to fuck off, because, like, seriously, that's goddamn unacceptable. Especially, I mean, he was, like, drunk as fuck and didn't have any inhibitions or what?
And it sounds like it's more than just this one incident at a party if this guy was drunk or something, because, like, the last paragraph kind of implies that, like, this guy is this kind of a homophobic dick all the time.
How is he friends with your mate? I mean, how could you possibly stand being friends with someone that insulting to your very core being?
Yeah. And why is your mate his friend?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's time for a come to Jesus talk with your mate, I think.
Yeah. You need to put your foot down and just say, look, this fucker is goddamn unacceptable.
Yeah.
And I will not have him be a part of our life. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, your turn, Severn.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
With a rake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your turn, Tower.
With a rake. What fun has been going on in some hotels? With a rake.
Hello, with stuffer. With a knife. With a rake knife.
Hello, stuffer, stuffing, and me moving some leaves. I have been hearing people fill you guys in on con reports and stuff going on. Well, we first in the UK just recently had a lovely little trip to a theme park here, staying overnight in the hotel. Thanks to Evil Squirrel and others arranging everything, it went absolutely amazingly well with little problems. The trip was to Alton Towers for the Halloween event, and a lot of people were wearing their kigus and tails. I'm guessing kigurumis, which would be...
Yeah, those creepy pajama things.
Well, the kigurumis are the body suits with the molded plastic heads, which are creepy as fuck.
I think he's talking about the PJs here.
I think the kigurumis are like the open-faced pajama suits where you have like a little hoodie with the ears and you have a tail and it looks like a big loose pair of pajamas. They look very comfortable, but I don't know. For some reason, they look like when they send me to a mental home, this is what everyone will be wearing.
Yes.
Only animals.
Kigurumis... Okay, so there's costume performance, you represent cartoon characters, there's animes, there's fursuit kigurumis,
So it's the molded?
Well, no, it's... And it also has the disguised pajamas.
Oh, okay.
So it's...
Are they both, then?
Yeah, so... That's a kigu, which is basically the molded head with the costume body.
Mm-hmm.
And then the I am a cute anime girl, which is creepy as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
The dudes in the anime girl masks that are
no.
And of course, there's
leave the mask on.
And of course, there's a picture of Lucky Coyote on the Wikipedia article for kigus under the subheading of fursuit.
Then what about what's the disguise pajama?
Disguise pajamas. So they normally want non-commercially of Japanese street fashion, or is referred to in Japan as kigurumin. The clothing does not function as porn's costume. The pajama outfits tend to be made of thin material and conform to the body of the wearer like normal clothing. The hoods and caps do not cover the face.
Yeah. They're not my thing. Didn't mean to majorly digress.
No, but it's like, what? Well, you were right, though. I mean, it has multiple meanings. Damn you! Well, I'll just say English, but that's not English. Anyways, it was fun watching both parents and children giving funny looks at some of the people dressed up. Unfortunately, I forgot my tale, but I still had a very jolly good time. The hotel was great, with the staff being very cheerful and very helpful to a large group of strange furs. After everything was over, we were all sad to be leaving, but there are plans to make it a regular event each year, so here's hoping for next. Well, that's my little story for the Halloween mood, and hope you all have a great holiday. Your very strange longtime stalker, listener, Pet Ye the Wox. Cool. Sent for my BlackBerry.
With Virgin Media. Or something.
Virgin Media? Furries? Wait a minute.
Yeah, somebody recently was telling me, you know, they couldn't decide whether they wanted to fly Virgin Airlines or Delta, I think it was. I was like, furries can't fly Virgin. Which I thought but didn't say because it's like totally fifth grader. But anyway.
Yeah.
But no, that's cool. And I actually enjoy hearing about the con reports and the meet, special meets and stuff like that. You know, kind of let people know what's going on out there in the furry world, you know, if there's something going on in your area or something like that. We should probably talk about OKCon because we haven't really.
We were
at OKCon.
So I know we're at OKCon. We did a show on OKCon, but I don't know if we said everything we could say about OKCon at the time. Like, excuse me, like, we had fun. Okay, maybe there's not much more to say. I don't know. Let's see. What do we got here? We have an email here. Okay, I'm just making sure.
OKCon. It's fucking amazing. Thumbs up.
Sincerely, the staff of OKCon. No. it was awesome. I'm going to read this email. Oh, okay. Now it makes more sense. The subject line is naughty meditation. I at first read it as naughty medication. So I thought it was going to be about, like, Viagra.
And I've been using Viagra to fuck the shit out of bears.
There's some of those psych meds that have weird side effects on your sexuality, like make your cum turn orange or something like that.
They make your penis turn inside out.
No, that's a vagina. That's called transgendered surgery.
Ooh.
Okay. Sexual reassignment or something. What are you doing?
Opening my DVD for Robot Chicken Season 5 while you're
talking. Oh, okay. All right.
I'm stabbing myself with a pencil to make myself feel alive.
Yeah, I was wondering there. Okay. Dear Notcast, I just wanted to say a huge thank you for your advice for my previous email about my problems. Can you not do that? I can hear it. It's like you're eating something really crunchy. I'm going to rustle this bag of Ruffles while you try to talk. Sound effects. We're getting all fucking Radiophonic Workshop up in this bitch.
Okay. Robot Chicken.
So, what you advised has really helped me to settle down and relax a lot more during more intimate times. Though I still tense up now and then, it's not as bad as before. When I feel it starting up again, I let them know, and they are understanding enough to back off a little and let me have some room until I feel I'm ready again. Though there are still some minor intimacy issues, I'm slowly working through them. I even managed to give him a very intimate kiss, something I was very meek and shy to do before, and he really thought it was cute that I had initiated such a thing. The meditation idea Shiva mentioned has really helped, especially when I close my eyes and just let things happen. We even tried some fun activities in a darkened room, and it went really well. Plus, he loves it when he can simply pick me up like the little twink bunny I am and throw me onto the bed, listen to me let out a literal squeak for him, and have some fun rawr time. On a little side note, I'm really sorry to hear about the recent events with Fuzzwolf's mom, and I am sending them all my bunny prayers and luck. Oh, I'm not sure if you noticed, but when browsing YouTube, I happened on some clips of the Notcast crew. So it was almost like being there for a few seconds, which was awesome. Being a convergent and still miles away from any other fans since moving to my housekeeping job in Saskatoon, the Notcast crew and the podcast is the closest I've ever been to the fandom. So thank you again. Kind regards, your biggest bunny fan, Onigrift. This doesn't need to be read online, but are there any good comics that have a decent amount of bunnies involved in them from For Planet? If so, a short listing would be fantastic. Of course, I was going to read that line anyway. the Leather Lad comic series, the main character is a sexual superhero bunny. And the orientations vary in that. The first one's straight, the second one has a shemale, and the third one is gay. But it's a fun kind of Batman parody, tongue-in-cheek kind of style, so I'd check those out.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, I think that's not really much in the way of bunnies in those books.
I'm trying to think of any other...
At least not bunny-heavy. I think there's a couple of bunny characters.
For like, there's like, if you like horses, there's one that's like... Actually, several
like all horses. Yeah, we have a horse cock anthology called the Gigi's Anthology and Shelby's Secret is all horse cock. There's a bunny character in Resisting Arrest by Phil Goish. He plays a minor role, but he's like the ringmaster of the circus, and it's kind of cute actually because the gag behind that is that they roll out a big top hat into the middle of the big top, and he pulls himself out of the hat. And he's the ringmaster of the circus, so that's kind of cool.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but I can't really think of any other bunny characters off the top of my head right now, but maybe later. But next email?
I'm just very good that, you know, your stuff is getting better.
Yeah, I'm very happy to hear that. I had a couple of positive feedback emails this week. It's always good to get follow-up from some people that have written in before.
Working through my stuff, it's getting better.
Yeah.
That's good.
Good to know.
All right. Friendly PSA. Dear Notcast, this is a little more statement than a question, but I feel that the role of GLBT community/health centers are underappreciated and looked over, or overlooked, I guess. I was one of these people that thought that they were just for people questioning their sexuality, but no. They are a place to go for any sexual or relationship help. Yes, Notcast helps, but like me recently, if you need help and can't wait for a podcast to be recorded and released, they are there to help. I encourage the listeners of Notcast to support their local GLBT Community Health Center because I've just realized the importance that they do play in making our lives better. Please feel free to tangent and add any statement or what will help or what will you. Even if not read fully on the air, maybe add a reminder, blah, blah, blah. Thank you for your great advice and laughs, Istas Fox. No, a very good point, and you hit it pretty much on the head. They're there, use them, they're useful, and by God, they can save lives.
If you've got them, use them.
Yep.
Because, I mean, we're a podcast. We do our best to help, but sometimes you need to talk to somebody in person.
Yeah, I mean, it's also, like, this is something fun that we do with friends, and that's cool. And if we're actually making a positive impact, then that's like a very cool additional bonus, I guess. But we're not like trained advice givers.
Yeah, and you everything know, we do is off our own.
It's our own opinion and our own experiences and our own relationships and stuff like that. So if you want, you know, another opinion or you want to talk to a professional that's actually trained in a lot of these matters, or like you said, you need help like now.
Yeah.
Then totally look for these kinds of organizations in your area.
Even if they don't have like professionals on hand, a lot of those kind of places are staffed with volunteers who have been there and done that.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, they're there, and if you're in your community, don't hesitate to use them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and another good one is actually Planned Parenthood, because Planned Parenthood is way more than just, hey, we do abortions. That's actually like a tiny amount of what they do. They do a lot of sex ed. They do a lot of
STD testing.
See, that's a big thing. Is, you know, it is a good idea to always go maybe once or twice a year and get an STD panel run, especially if you're sexually active with more than one person. Even if you're safe, which you should be, then you should definitely go check that out. And a lot of people don't realize that Planned Parenthood, you know, in lieu of like a gay and lesbian health center, if there's a Planned Parenthood in your area, you can also use them a lot. And they're also they are going to be a little more open-minded when dealing with the gay and bisexual crowd as well.
I think it's fucking criminal that, you know, the first thing that people think of that, oh, you know, Planned Parenthood, you know, there's an abortion mill. They're just killing them babies and sacrificing them to the dark gods and...
They have a Sam's Club account so that they can get their wire hangers in bulk.
You know, just with how I was raised and the way that we were introduced to Planned Parenthood through some of the programs I went with, I didn't even really know that they had anything involved with abortions for a very long time, because that's where I went to get my yearly checkup for a reasonable rate. They're usually pretty cheap. That's where I went to get my birth control medication. They're where I went to get certain really decently priced prophylactics like condoms and other stuff. They're where I went for any kind of, you know, I was having problems with some of my hormones for a while. I went to them. And I saw some of the pamphlets for, you know, abortion and adopting and all this other stuff. And it was just part of the whole process. But they covered you from being sexually healthy, as in, like, all your equipment working. All the way up through preventing pregnant, and then what happens if you should get pregnant, including, you know, maternity health. I mean, it's not just taking care of unwanted babies. It's when you are pregnant and you want to keep it.
Yeah, prenatal care.
Prenatal care, you know, all the way up through helping you find a gynecologist.
Yeah, Planned Parenthood does a fuckload of women's health services.
Yeah.
And just general sexual health.
They are probably among one of the groups that does the most good for the poor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they help in their own way. I mean, you know, keeping... You know, trying to help reduce STD rates among the poor, giving out free, doing clinics, doing free women's health. I mean, they do a lot in the way of like mammograms and pap smears and stuff like that, which, you know.
If it has to do with the icky plumbing, they'll take care of it.
Male or female?
Yes. Yeah. All the ones that I've been to GPs, like general practitioners, and you start talking about the plumbing and they're like going, they start turning red and having a hawn, change the subjects. They don't want to discuss it. It's like, what the fuck? You're a doctor.
So maybe this is, I don't know what it was like up north because I was too young at the time, but maybe this is a Texas thing. I don't know. I never had a problem getting an STD test back in Florida, but here I wanted to save some time and they were running my blood anyway because they check a lot of shit on an annual physical. By the way, go get an annual physical. That's important. But, you know, they check your cholesterol. With me, to check my thyroid level because I'm on the thyroid supplement and everything. And, you know, to check liver function and your blood and all that shit. So while they're running all these blood tests anyway, I'm like, hey, can you do an STD panel and an HIV test? Because I'm a sexually active adult. And I do this every year just to make sure that, you know, everything is cool.
You're taking a shitload of my blood. Here, take a little bit more, you know?
Basically, yeah. You know, drop another bit on a slide and do this. And, like, the doctor's like, I'm going to have to ask about that. And they went and they got, like, another doctor or another clinician or something like that. And they're having this discussion. And they're like, why do you need an HIV test? Have you been exposed to someone who is HIV positive? Like, sure, I was, you know, a missionary in Africa, and I was, you know, canoeing in the blood fields of Africa, and I got blood all over me or something. I'm like, no, this is just something that, and I was taught this in school.
Just get it done.
That it's a good idea to do this every year. It's just part of common sense. And they looked like I was some sort of fucking
pervert that you've been fucking everything.
Some amazing slut or something like that. You know?
Now, see, this is going to sound bad because I grew up in Texas and I thought, you know, I was raised with the vague notion that Planned Parenthood was, you know, this evil satanic thing. And, like, only whores and sluts went there.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, now that I'm older, I know better. But, like, the general things, ooh, they're Planned Parenthood. They're, you know, they're murdering babies and giving people drugs and, like, be sluts.
Slut fox. That was seriously how I was raised. And it wasn't, and it wasn't because my parents were overtly like that. That was just the general sentiment that you got from everybody around you.
Right, the culture around you.
You know, and like, way back in the day before Panther and I even moved together, we both, you know, were like, you know, before we're going to do anything, we're going to get tested. And when we, you know, I was like, it's all like, it was this big, shameful, creepy deal. And it wasn't. But it was like, you know, it was just how I was raised.
And if you go to Planned Parenthood, they're like, okay, because that's what they're dared to do.
Because my experience was at an ordinary medical clinic, just a general practitioner
thing.
This
was at a campus.
I was just really surprised to get that kind of attitude from doctors, from medical professions, from professionals. And it was like, is this just not done in mainstream Texas society? I mean, their reaction seemed really weird to me.
I was raised in Fort Worth, a very, very, very conservative city.
Yeah.
Probably the most conservative city in Texas that is an actual city. So, I mean,
Waco doesn't count.
Waco doesn't count.
I mean,
Waco can fucking,
my apologies to the people of Waco. I'm so sorry that you're living in Waco.
Yeah. So it boils down to, if you got a problem or a question about anything to do with your plumbing and you don't want to have anybody look down your nose and they want to be just as fucking casual about any of that stuff as getting your oil changed, go to Planned Parenthood. Because quite frankly, going in for any of that was like, yep, we're going to do this, 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 up on the table. There, you're done. My oil is going to change for the year. Go on in.
Then we're going to rotate your tires.
Yeah. It was...
They lube didn't ask, you up.
Get the air drill.
it really wasn't any... They were very matter-of-fact. And, oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Off you go. You're good.
Well, I was lucky because the last time... the last time I went to the doctor was like maybe back in January, and I did what you did. You know, it's like I want to, like, they wanted to do a blood panel. I was like, well, just might as well add, you know, double check for everything: STD, HIV, diabetes, everything that fucking clear.
Yeah.
So that was cool. I mean, I obviously would not have been exposed, but you know, it's still one of those extra peace of mind. It's like I was clean then, I'm clean now.
Yeah.
Not going to go fuck around at all. That's not how I roll.
But still, it's good. It's a nice peace of mind.
Yeah, it's to know that, hey, my body is not trying to kill me, and I haven't done anything stupid and caught something.
So I had my abdominal sonogram yesterday, and they've discovered that I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
I have a little badger inside me.
Awesome. Now, the thing is, badgers claw their way out.
Yeah. It'll be all like Alien. But yeah, it turns out I'm a herm after all this time.
Who knew? But it'll be I have a
uterus.
No. It'll be a lot cuter than, you know, the Alien.
But no, I wanted to get checked out just for a cancer check, basically. And, you know, make sure that I don't have...
Make sure you have all, you know, the organs that you're supposed to have at this point in time.
Yeah, minus the one I had removed.
Yeah, well, like I said, all the organs you're supposed to have at this point in time.
It angered me, so I cut it out myself with a butter knife and an ice cream scoop.
Heck, fuck you.
Then I used a hot glue gun to seal the wound.
Read an email.
Oh, goodness. That's the last one. And hey, what do you know? We're at about an hour and a half.
Perfect.
Yep. Looks like we're getting better at timing these breaks. Hey, topics. Who sticks with those anyway? Or anymore? God, I can't read today.
I'm infecting you.
Yeah, I have
L-shaped. Oh shit! Get to Planned Parenthood. Stat.
Oh god, my body. Oh god, my spine. It's turning L-shaped. You know, bone snap. Hey there, notcasters. I've been listening to your fantastic podcast for a little while, and so when I couldn't really figure out my current situation, I decided to come to you. Please pardon the forthcoming wall of text.
You're at 3 paragraphs. This is not a wall.
My current girlfriend of about 8 months and I are normally very close, but very recently, due to about 4 states worth of distance and 2 incredibly overfilled schedules, she's being an engineering student, and my part-time job and class load eating my life like some sort of horrible monster... Things have become, well, difficult. Female engineering student?
That's cool.
That's kind of cool. Very rare. So she has all sorts of labs and math to do, and my normal schedule takes me from 8:30 a.m. to 11 p.m. before homework is actually even begun. When you do get a chance to talk, it's fantastic, but in the long gaps in between talks, on my end, doubt begins to creep in. No worries that she's cheating or something like that, just doubt that I'm actually committed to the relationship. As I said when we talk, all these doubts get pushed aside. We give it a few days, and there they are again. In short, long distance sucks. This leads directly into my second issue. Maybe since my girlfriend isn't actually at school here with me, maybe because of other reasons, but whatever the reason, I've been falling for someone here at school. Someone that happens to be in most of my classes, and whom I see at work all the time. Logically, I know that I should just stop being interested, especially since I know that it wouldn't go anywhere if I was single anyway, since he's as straight as an arrow. But no dice. I even tried telling him I was interested, hoping that if I told him, the feelings might ebb. But nothing really happened. He took it rather well, though, and basically nothing has changed. Needless to say, this combined with his lovely doubles... Lovely doubts. Lovely doubles. Check them dubs.
Your spine is growing.
extra limbs. They keep creeping in, causing me to feel incredibly guilty, even though I haven't really done anything. Catholic guilt. The gift that keeps on giving. Not really seeing a way out, I come to you. In short, how do I make a long-distance relationship suck less when neither party really has any time? And how do we deal with or get rid of a crush that keeps giving me crushing guilt?
Are you pausing for us to answer?
Yes, because there's a second question set.
Oh, okay. I'm just making sure. Which is
a not quite paragraph, but you know.
Right.
Long distance, and he's crushing on a dude.
If you don't have time to actually, like, hook up over AIM or something, just write an email.
Leave a voicemail?
Leave a voicemail. Send her a little something when you actually can't have live, you know, chat. And if she leaves you something, you can pick it up when you have time to check your messages or whatnot. It can really help.
Yeah, I don't know if you mentioned, I mean, if they have cell phones, they could do text messaging.
Yeah.
I know Tieran and I texted quite a lot when we were living long distance.
If you got one with a phone, you can always snap little pictures to send each other, like, look at this, oh, isn't this cute? You know, if you don't have a lot of time, just a quick little 2-second ping.
Yeah. Just, it's keeping in touch in little ways as much as you can, even though you might not get, you know, that hour and a half to sit and chat.
I mean, that you might want. Plus, you're both going what looks like full-time to college, plus you're working. Yeah. I mean, that puts enough strain on any relationship that you're going to, well, feel it. And what we suggested, the little notes and stuff, is a good idea. And will help mitigate that to a degree. And you've got, you know, winter break coming up, hopefully. And you might get a chance to see each other or at least talk more frequently.
Yes.
But it's perfectly normal to feel that kind of stress on a relationship when you're both doing like that. How about the straight guy, though?
Yeah, just...
He's like, I've got a gay boner for this guy, but he's straight. What do I do?
Dude, you gotta tell your cock to get back in your pants. That one's not for you. That's the only thing you can really do.
Yep.
Say, whoa down, boy.
Anytime that Y boner pops up, you say, no. Bad. Even if it goes, because.
So, that's about the best thing I have for that one. So
yeah, you're gonna have to, like, slap your cock into gear. Wait.
Sorry, dude. No.
Or out of gear, is the case, yes. Maybe. Yeah, and there's nothing, you know, of course there's nothing wrong with having an interest in a guy, but, you know, it's an interest that can't be returned in this case, and shouldn't be if you want to maintain your relationship with your girlfriend.
Yeah, and that kind of obsession and such can hurt things, so do your best to kind of encourage that to fade.
Yeah.
Don't be a creeper, please.
So, next section?
And the last little bit. Now to switch topic doesn't make me want to smash my head against the wall with confusion and doubt. I'm honestly still relatively new to the furry fandom, and I was wondering, for when I actually have some free time, how to go about meeting some other furs, whether through the magical interwebs or into the real world. Any suggestions would be awesome. Even if the email doesn't make it on the air, thanks so much, and keep being the awesome people you are, Anonymous. So, how does you meet furries?
Well, one thing is go to Google, type in your city name, Furs, and see what pops up, or your state, depending on if you're in a sparsely populated state. I'm not sure. Yep. I don't
think they said. Meetup.com has a group, usually.
And there's always FA.
Yep.
Yeah, FA has a lot of those little icons that are like, you know, I'm a Texas furry or whatever, and they've put the little icon yeah. on their thing. So, you know, you could look for other people there, or if that group has put anything in a journal. But like I said, do a city search, state search. You may find some sort of organization in your area. You know, if not, I would also go for other places like, you know, if there's like an anime store or something like that. Comic shop that might have some sort of crossover interest. You might meet people there.
And, you know, nerds are often into more than one thing at a time. So if you do meet some cool people at a comic shop, they probably, A, either won't give you shit, or B, might be interested.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, if you go to like a like an anime, you know, let's say like Furry Fiesta wasn't here and we didn't have an organized community in this area, then for someone that had been in this area, I'd say we'll go to Akon because there's a lot of, because it's a very large anime convention and there's a good number of furries there.
Yeah, and there was a Furry Fiesta room party last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I know there's other big anime cons that probably have, and some sci-fi cons, like Midwest Fur Fest was originally the furry track at DuckCon, which was a convention up in the Chicago area.
Yeah.
And then either the furries grew too big or DuckCon was like Furries Get Out. I've heard it both ways. Don't know which is true. But either way, the furry track split off, made its own convention, which is now three times the size of the con that it spun off of. So you could possibly find little sci-fi cons that maybe have a furry track or a couple of furry interest panels, things like that. Oh, and I did want to throw out, speaking of MFF, I probably won't be there, but for Planet Has Tables in the dealer's room, and Tyrion will be there, and we'll be selling stuff, books, comics, Bitter Lake DVDs. So I know that's a couple weeks out, but if you guys are going to go to Midwest Fur Fest, please come by the dealer's room. It is in the sub-basement 3 level of the hotel. So
does that make it sub-level 03?
It pretty much is, yeah, but not nearly as cool. The dealer's room is seriously in the back of Beyond at that hotel. So you will find, if you dare to trek downstairs, you will find not only us, but many other cool dealers. So please do so.
And just watch out for that Beyond door.
Yeah, yeah, there's Bed Bath and Beyond, and that's where it starts to get really weird.
Well.
Do we have a topic idea for next week?
No.
Check our FA for the topic for
next week. Yeah, we've been real bad. It's just an open topic week. Yeah. We're trying to get back in the swing of things. If you have a topic you'd like to bring up, leave us a note on FA. Leave us a shout. Leave a comment on a journal. You know. Let us know.
Yeah.
I want to keep this interesting. Yeah. We got to get back in, you know, back in the swing of
things. Back in the groove now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's good to be back, and yeah, we'll keep going.
So, all right.
On that note.
Good night.
And big balls.
Sorry. I drank 3 cups of coffee.